Satanism may not be talked about as much today as it was a year or so ago, but it's still a very present danger in our culture, especially for those who have teenage children. Today we're going to talk about the problems of Satanism with someone who knows firsthand how teens can get caught up in the occult. Joining us by telephone from Ontario, Canada, is Charles Evans, a former Satanist who is now president of Victory Through Jesus Ministries. Charles, it's my pleasure on behalf of Dr. Kennedy to welcome you to the program.
Thank you very much.
Tell me some of the reasons that you got involved in Satanism as a youth.
Well, actually, there were two main reasons. Now that I look back, I see the way that they tied together. The first one was the fact that, unfortunately, I was very dissatisfied as a child with my Christian upbringing. I was raised in what I thought was a Christian household. We went to church every Sunday. We said prayers before meals. Had a standard 20-pound reference Bible on the coffee table, but none of us knew about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the church we attended, although it was a mainline Protestant denomination, never really said anything about such a personal relationship. It never encouraged the congregation to get to know the Lord. And as a young, energetic child, I just felt in my heart that there had to be more to God than what I was hearing. So after falling asleep week after week, quite literally, when I entered my teen years, I simply put my foot down, as it were, and told my parents I didn't want to go to church anymore. It wasn't easy to convince them, but they did finally agree with me that I wasn't benefiting. And to make a long story short, I did stop attending church, although my parents continued to go. Now, a few years later, I got involved with rock and roll music and became quite literally addicted to it. And as time went on, I started to notice that my particular favorite bands, heavy metal bands, all had one thing in common, and that was that they all sang about Satan, or witchcraft, or the occult. And as I listened more and more to these people who had become my idols and my heroes, I started to think that perhaps they had the right religion. It sounded as though they really believed what they were saying. So as time went on, I started to seriously consider what they were saying and started reading books on the subjects that they were talking about through their music. The two items put together are what actually encouraged me a little farther down the road to check into the occult and begin to treat it as my own religion.
As a teenager who practiced Satanism, what were some of your activities?
Well, at first, I started with white magic. I thought that because I prayed to the Queen of Heaven and I didn't do any kind of ceremonies to harm people, that I must have been doing the right thing. I couldn't have been doing anything that God would object to. I've since come to know that there is no such thing as white magic, however. Later on, I got involved in black magic, thinking that it might be even better, more powerful, stronger. During that, there were rituals and ceremonies as well, but they are not all based on purity or love. A black magician carries out rituals and ceremonies for the purpose, the sole purpose, generally speaking, of pleasing himself or herself with no regard to others. Then eventually I did get involved in outright Satanism, thinking that if white magic was satisfying, black magic was even better, that certainly to worship Satan himself had to be the ultimate. As a Satanist, I encouraged friends and people from school to get involved with me, and I'm surprised as I look back at just how easy that was. Many of my friends at the time got involved with me, and we would get together on a regular basis to perform rituals and ceremonies that were, by the way, incredibly easy to learn from books at the public libraries and even the school libraries.
Let me ask you at this point, Charles, how did you initially move from just reading the books to actual personal contact with occultists and Satanists?
Well, actually, that's a very good question, because I find it fascinating even now as I remember that time in my life, how I was absolutely terrified of anything to do with Satanism. I remember enjoying horror movies as a child about Frankenstein and Dracula and so on, but any movies that had to do with the worship of Satan or demons, such as Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist, that kind of movie terrified me, and I never would have thought that I would get involved in the worship of Satan. But as time went on, through reading the books and learning more about it, the fascination and the curiosity overpowered my wisdom, I suppose, or my better thinking on the subject, and I eventually did take the leap. But as I mentioned, it was a progressive thing. Sean Sellers, who is currently on death row, awaiting execution for the murders of his parents, as well as a convenience store clerk, as sacrifices to Satan, says the same thing, that it was a very gradual thing for him as well. He did not set out to be a Satanist, nor did I. And I think it's very important for the kids to realize that. They might think that they're just dabbling in something, just fooling around in it, but I think it's very much like drug use, in which a person may try something comparatively mild, such as marijuana, and find no problem with it, but somewhere down the road, he or she decides that he wants something with a bit more kick to it. And at that point, might reach out to a stronger drug, and unfortunately find out that it is not so easy after that to simply walk away. Involvement with the occult is very similar. So I found myself jumping into something that I really didn't know anything about, except for the little knowledge that I had gained through reading and certainly what I had heard through rock and roll music. So it was a very progressive thing, a gradual thing, from the books to the actual worship of Satan.
During this time, tell me something about your personal life. What kind of thoughts were going through your mind? What kind of moods you were experiencing?
Well, during my involvement with white magic, black magic, and finally Satanism, it's quite interesting in all three aspects. At first, I was very satisfied, very happy to be involved with my religion rather than simply sitting in a pew listening to someone else. However, in each respect, I started to realize that it wasn't really what I had been searching for. It wasn't really completely satisfying. Of course, I've since come to know that only Jesus Christ can completely satisfy. It's only He that can give that perfect peace to a hungry soul. So getting involved with Satanism was just something that I was using to try and find God. And before too long, I started to feel extreme doubt. Because I had been raised in the church, although I didn't think that it benefited me, as I look back now, I see that it did, because it let me know enough about the Bible and enough about God and Satan to realize that I was involved in something that I shouldn't have been involved with. The doubts just increased as time went on, and then it actually went to fear when I realized that I was over my head.
What brought you to that realization?
Well, it's quite a long story, actually. It's something that transpired over a period of several months. At one point, the doubt, the despair, the fear had grown to such a point that I actually said to my friend who was also involved in this with me that I wanted to leave my involvement with Satanism. And even though this was a good friend of mine, I remember him turning to me and warning me that I better not even think about it. However, before too long, this same friend came to me and said that he too had serious doubts and wanted to leave Satanism. And I remember one night, in fact I'll never forget it, when this friend and myself drove to the Niagara River. And for those who haven't seen the Niagara River, suffice to say that once you're in it, you don't get out again. And we were seriously considering ending our lives at that point, truly believing in our hearts that that was the only way to be free from what we were involved with. But obviously we didn't follow through with our plans, but that nagging doubt and fear continued to grow in my own life. At that point in time, my father was placed in the hospital for some routine surgery, and his roommate turned out to be a born-again believer. And this gentleman's family and friends and visitors would also visit with my father, sharing with him and reading from the Bible and praying with him. And before you knew it, my father had accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. When he was discharged from the hospital, he began to associate with these individuals he had met in the hospital, going to church with them and Bible studies and prayer meetings, and he encouraged his new Christian friends to pray for me. And it seemed as though the entire city of Niagara Falls at that point was actually praying for me. I've since come to learn through the Word of God that I was experiencing something referred to as the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God was certainly dealing with my heart, letting me know that I was involved in something terribly wrong, something that was totally against His Word and His will. And as time went on, this feeling just grew to such an extent that at one night, driving home from a party, I began to weep. And I had no idea why I was crying. I was by myself. I had just left a party. There was no reason to be crying. But I actually had to pull off the road for a few minutes to regain composure of myself. when I did finally make it home, I just said, enough is enough, and I fell down by my bed and cried out to the Lord. And it's interesting because I remember praying to him and saying, I don't even know if you exist. And even if you do, I don't know if you can help me. Because at that point, I thought that Satan was stronger than the Lord. It's also important, I think, to mention that I truly believed with all my heart that to give my life to the Lord meant to sign my own death certificate. I truly believed that Satan himself was going to come in that room that night and kill me for trying to leave him. Needless to say, that did not happen. I was born again that night, and things certainly haven't been the same.
While you were involved in Satanism and in the occult, did your parents have any idea what was going on in your life?
Yes, they did. Unfortunately, they didn't take it seriously enough. And many parents say the same thing. In fact, again referring to Sean Sellers, he says that his parents thought he was just going through a fad or a phase in his life. And Sean says that by the time they started to think that he might have a problem, it was already too late because Satan had told him to kill them. And he did follow through with that order. My parents, too, thought that it was just a fad, something, a normal teenage rebellion, I suppose. Fortunately, things worked out in the end, in my case. But so many parents are saying the same things, that it's just rebellion, and that the kids will grow out of it, and I would caution them to perhaps take things more seriously. Maybe it is nothing more than a fad in their particular case, but it's not something you want to experiment with.
I'd like you to tell us why we're seeing such a rise in satanic and occultic activity in our day. Is it on the rise, or are we just more sensitized because of all the books and radio programs and even secular exposés like Geraldo Rivera's?
Well, actually, I believe there are a few reasons. And the first one I would have to say is the subtle or even blatant enticement through a lot of the heavy metal rock lyrics. When I was involved with rock music, I thought it was pretty bad. But it has reached the point now that the music industry has actually created a brand new category referred to as black metal music. And black metal bands are the ones who sing about Satan or the occult or use satanic symbols on their album covers. Some of these rock stars actually admit to being practicing Satanists. And the kids wanting to be like their rock stars decide that, even as I did, Satanism is the way to go. Certainly that would lead to the next step, which would be the peer pressure. When a lot of kids start getting involved in this, it turns out to be the in thing to do, much like the drug culture of a few years ago. So many kids were getting into drugs and alcohol simply so that they could fit in with the rest of the crowd. The movies, the videotapes, and books, as you mentioned, have really spawned a whole new category of entertainment, as it's referred to. Video movies, for example, they're no longer simply horror movies, as I mentioned, with Frankenstein and Dracula. So many of the horror movies now actually contain legitimate step-by-step rituals in the movies. Of course, we can't forget to mention the lack of fulfillment with traditional religious practices, which was true in my case. The church needs to start waking up, I think, and really reaching out to the kids. I just received a letter from Jim Hardy. Jim is a young man who is serving a life sentence in Missouri State Penitentiary with no chance of parole for beating his friend to death with a baseball bat, again, as a sacrifice to Satan. In this letter, Jim says to me that the church has become a joke. Teenagers don't want to become involved with an organization that portrays Jesus Christ as, in Jim's word, a suffering wimp. Perhaps that's a little bit strong, but I think given Jim Hardy's position now in penitentiary, perhaps he has the right to speak out boldly against what we're seeing in the church today. And certainly I felt the same way back many years ago. I wanted a religion of power and something that had some substance to it. And I think the time has come that we have to stop whitewashing the gospel and present it in the power that the Bible talks about.
Charles, tell us something about, if there is a way to define it, the type of child or young person who will get involved with Satanism, and then some of the signs that we might see of a young person who is involved in the occult.
Actually, there is no way to say that this child will and this one won't. A lot of studies have shown that kids from rich neighborhoods, wealthy neighborhoods, from good, strong families, as well as kids from poor areas, get involved. A letter I received recently from a young man who lives in the Finger Lake region of New York State says that although he grew up in farm country with no cable television, no satellite dish, very little rock and roll concert activity, still he was drawn into Satanism. So there is no real category to say this type of kid is immune from it. Unfortunately, it seems as though it's spreading everywhere, and no person, whether young or old, seems to be immune from it. As far as the warning signs, however, there are quite a few, and I would strongly suggest that if a parent sees any of these signs in his child or her child, to take them seriously or at least keep your eye on them. One of the main signs would be writing poetry or song lyrics dealing with death or suicide. That is one of the major signs because so many kids who have, in fact, taken their own lives have left behind notebooks full of this kind of poetry, song lyrics, even fictional stories that they may write dealing with death, suicide, blood, or Satanism. Another sign would be if the child generally is a very good person, easy to get along with, well-mannered, and he suddenly becomes very irritable and moody. Again, it's very similar to drug usage. Another very strong sign would be an addiction to fantasy role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons, which can actually reach the point where the player of the game stops considering it to be a game and has a very difficult time differentiating between fantasy and reality. The National Coalition on Television Violence claims that as many as 100 deaths have been linked to fantasy role-playing games. Another sign would be exchanging a large group of friends for a smaller, more select group. Certainly, if your son or daughter is bringing home books on the occult, particularly blatant ones such as The Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey, that is definitely something that you should be aware of, and again, keep your eye on him or her. I would stress once again, parents should not make the mistake of thinking that such activities are simply a fad that your child is going through or a phase that he or she will grow out of. It may be that, but it could potentially be something far more serious.
One very sensitive area which you address is that you encourage parents to actually go through their child's music collection. Let's talk about how a parent should do this and why.
As for how they should do it, I personally believe they should let their kids know about it. Perhaps ask the child if it's all right with him or her that the parent is going to go through the albums. I have read some books that say that as parents, you have every right to simply go through your child's belongings. And I suppose that is true, but I think that may cause more harm simply by putting a wall up between you and the child because of the invasion of privacy. So if at all possible, let your child know what your intentions are. And as to the question of why they should do it, I think it's astounding that so many parents, even Christian parents, are allowing some of this, what I would refer to quite frankly as trash, into their homes. We have rock albums now that encourage the listener to kill their parents, to stamp out the church. And certainly there is an awful lot of rock music encouraging kids to kill themselves. In fact, studies in the U.S. have indicated that as many as 5,000 deaths and suicides every year in the United States alone can be directly linked to fatalistic lyrics in rock and roll music. So certainly it's not something, again, that we can just laugh at or ignore. I think one of the main things to stress is that even some of the softer music can be potentially satanic or occultic in nature. A lot of times we make the mistake of simply accusing the heavy metal bands or the black metal bands, and we look for just the obvious offenders. But again, this is your child that we're talking about. So certainly the parent should spend the time and be willing to spend the time to look into this seriously, carefully, even watching rock videos, if that's what it takes. Watch them yourself. After all, if you're letting your kid watch it, why shouldn't you? I even go to the extreme, some people think, of encouraging parents to attend rock concerts. And certainly people throw their hands up when they hear me say that and say, I'm a good Christian, how could you tell me to go to a rock concert? But again, I would say, if you're sending your kids, then why shouldn't you go? I think parents, for the most part, would be absolutely shocked if they were to look into the rock area just a little bit. And I think it would give them a whole new perspective on just how serious this is, just how offensive it is, and how potentially dangerous rock music can be.
What should parents do if they find objectionable music in their child's library? Some people advocate just destroying it on the spot. What is your answer?
There are two reasons why I do not advocate destroying it on the spot. Number one, again, I think that would just put a wall between the child and yourself. Consider the fact that your child is an individual, and ask yourself how you would feel if someone came into your room and destroyed your property. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. The second reason would be, and Eric Barger mentions this in his book, From Rock to Rock, and I agree with him 100%, and that is, if you destroy the rock records, chances are your son or daughter will simply go out and buy them all over again. And I can relate to that because that's exactly what I did. Many years ago when I came to know Jesus Christ, I wanted to please him and I wanted to do what he expected me to do. So many Christians told me to smash my rock albums, and I did. I smashed hundreds of dollars worth. But inside, I was not ready to do that. I was not prepared to do that. And I ended up buying all of them, all over again. So the thing to do is to talk to one another. Develop a relationship with your child. Studies have shown that the average American father, and I'm sure it's true in Canada as well, spends an average of 37 seconds per day in direct communication with his child. And I think that's deplorable. We have to get to the point again where we're talking with our children, communicating with them, and at that point, you can discuss the rock music. Point out to your child why you find it offensive. Get him or her to the point where he or she sees your point and can agree with you. I have found in my own seminars and lectures, so many of these kids aren't even aware of these lyrics. And when they are made aware, they do admit that they don't agree with it.
All right, Charles, as you said, there are so many other things that we could talk about. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But I thank you for joining us today, and I hope maybe we can visit with you once again in the future.
Thank you very much.
Our guest has been Charles Evans, and our discussion has centered around Satanism, which Charles was involved with in his teenage years before he met Jesus Christ. Satanism is a frightening problem for parents, and I would encourage you not to be caught off guard. Discuss this with other parents in your church and neighborhood, and especially remember the warning signs of involvement with Satanism. This is Bob Allen, wishing you God's richest blessings and a wonderful, wonderful day. Truths That Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Views expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Dr. D. James Kennedy, Coral Ridge Ministries, or this station.